Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
It is an honor to be here. I'm wondering how amazing it must be for the participants to see such a myriad, such a dense offering of so many different ways, so many different angles to approach, facilitate embodiment. My angle may be different in some ways. And the wealth of wisdom that I'm drawing from is from an ancient time, and it's from the lands of India. Right now I'm in Bali, and there's definitely a symbiosis happening here between India and Bali. And underlying this symbiosis is indeed the unbroken process of embodiment. I'm here in this conference because of the word embodiment. That word itself excited me, and I am just grateful to be able to talk on it. I would like to break that word down a little bit and go to the roots of the word, because just as we in form are an embodiment of the formlessness, so too is the word an embodiment of meaning. So looking back to the meaning of the word embodiment, of course, we'll come to the word body. And if we go back to the Proto-Indo-European roots and even the Proto-Germanic roots, we would see that body is derived from a word bud, and it is very much related to awakeness, to aliveness, to awareness. There's also a connection with a root, an ancient root word, which is potus. And in Sanskrit, that becomes patra, the vessel. So the body very much as a living vessel, a living enfoldment of the very seed that we are flourishing from. Another meaning for that word, bod or bud, is to swell. So in effect, embodiment is a swelling forth, a multi-directional swelling forth from the seed of being itself. So from where I come in the tradition into which I have been initiated and raised into, this would be our dharma, this would be our purpose of being, is to unfurl and is to swell outwards from the very seed of being that is inborn, innate, inherent, and natural to each one of us. This is a fascinating journey if we just take the word forth and we see how in the Indian traditions, there's another word that roots from the bud, which becomes buddhi. And for many of you, buddha, it would be more familiar. And this buddha is the one who has awakened awareness of the seed or the self at the very center of being, and who is in effect a walking, talking, high functioning instrumentation of that seed, which is no less than pure consciousness itself. So if you can see in my title, there's the word how to come home to that seed being, how to come home to self Here's another word that excites me in this journey is the Sanskrit word swa. And swa means the inborn, the inherent, the natural, one's own self. And a word that derives from that, swasti, is very common here in Bali, very common in India, swasti. Swasti would be one way to describe in this language what embodiment is and how embodiment is no separate from well-being on all levels. And swa and swasti meaning awareness, a wakeful or awakened awareness of our own true self and the flourishing outwards of that in every sense. So I would like to begin now with a greeting, which has been used for many ages. It's an unbroken tradition of greeting, which would be, and we can do this together. This is the first exercise that I would like to offer up for us as an embodiment practice, is to just raise our hands to each side, the left side and the right side of our body. Body is also meaning the trunk, the stature. So to really feel the body with its two hands, right and left hands, almost like branches stemming out from the central channel of our being, and to become aware of the differences between the left and the right hand, where the left hand would be very much related to the negative charge of electrical energy, and the right hand very much connecting us to a positive charge of electrical energy, where the left would therefore be more feminine in nature and the right masculine, and left parasympathetic and the right sympathetic, where the left would be more feminine and lunar and the right more masculine solar. And very slowly aware of not only the two opposite hands, but the space in between. And as we begin to bring the hands together, aware of how these two aspects are integral to the wholeness of which they are each an equal part. And as we slowly bring the hands together, awareness of that spaciousness becoming very concentrated between the hands. And we're slowing it down and bringing the hands closer and closer until finally they meet. And this would be a reminder, a remembrance in our acknowledgement, not only of each other, but first an acknowledgement of ourselves, an acknowledgement of the seed of pure consciousness, acknowledgement of our true fundamental selfhood. And from that place, to look into the face or the eyes and to acknowledge the presence of all that exists around us, all that exists within us, as we meet each other with this age-old greeting of Namaste. In Bali, we say Om Swasti Astu, a recognition of the Swasti, a recognition of the indwelling, inborn consciousness of ourselves and of the others that we encounter on our path of swelling outwards and flourishing on every level of being. So this is how I'd like to greet you all today who are with me, is in this recognition of the opportunity to share some of what I have personally encountered in my path of embodiment of my fundamental true nature. And with this message, I would like to continue and begin the presentation itself of cell deep embodiment. And the sciences that I'll be referring to will be specifically Ayurveda, which is the science of life. It's also known as the science of self-healing. And it's also understood and experienced as the science of longevity. So living as long as possible with our, the fullness of being, and being supported at every corner, at every turn, from the gifts and the resources of nature itself. It's the path of going with nature. And also referring to yoga, the Kundalini Tantra yoga tradition, how to come home to yourself. Swastya. So if we were to be indeed at home with ourselves, the Sanskrit word for that is swastya, which in essence is the same as embodiment. For health or well-being is the embodiment of our own inborn self, swa. And the process that Ayurveda facilitates is not only coming home to ourselves, but to stay at home, to remain in dynamic equilibrium with integrity to our original fundamental nature. And I want to stop here, and please take the screenshot, or we'll take a few moments here. This is such an essential teaching in this journey. And these words of wisdom have been offered up to us by a philosopher, physician, who wrote one of the foundational texts or treatises on Ayurveda between 100 BCE to 200 CE is the period of time in which he was very much active and recognized. His work was internal medicine. And what he said, so as an internal, as someone, a physician working with internal medicine in his journeying, he said, yat pinde tat brahmande. An individual is the epitome of the universe, as all the material and spiritual phenomena of the universe are present in the individual. And all those present in the individual are also contained in the universe. As soon as he realizes his identity with the entire universe, he is in possession of true knowledge, which stands him in good stead for salvation. This last line, he is in possession of true knowledge, the knowledge of his self, the knowledge of self as one with the universe, and the containment, or the individual as a container of all the material and spiritual dynamics and phenomena and aspects, will be one and the same with what's in the universe. And as soon as this identification or re-identification is established, that therefore is the meaning, the measurable meaning, or the measurable reality of what embodiment as a human being can be and is. And so today, a simpler way to say that would be as above, so below. And bearing that in mind, we'll continue. As above, so below. Now, what it would look like for each one of us to be embodied to such a degree that we are in possession of that true knowledge, that we are no less than one with the universe and the enfoldment or the embodiment of pure consciousness itself. How that looks for each person will be entirely unique. And so in Ayurveda, we have another very important reminder. Bear this in mind too. Kala, desha, patra. Time, place, vessel. Remember that word patra coming from potus or pot, the vessel being one and the same as the bud, the body, the awake extension of our own free will. So let's boil it down. In English, we can say for whom, where, and when. It's very easy to remember. For whom, where and when? How will it look like for you to be embodied if you were to come here to Bali right now? How would it look for you to come back here when you're 50 years older than right now? How would it look like for us to join even here right now in front of a screen? It is constantly changing. For us to be embodied, for us to be in the process, because it wouldn't be a static, it's not a state, it's a process. For us to be embodied would be so much determined by how we are navigating inside our own bodies and inside the environment that we're dwelling within. And so for this embodiment process to be mastered, we would have to get to grips with the primary energies of what constitutes not only our own bodies, but what constitutes the universe, which we are one with. And this again is where Ayurveda steps in to remind us, to show us very clearly, simply, cleanly, and give us access to the primary energies and their functions of what it is to be here in a form, embodying formlessness. Kala, Desha, Patra, for whom, where, and when. So again, if you'd like a screenshot here, we are looking at the primary forces of what constitutes all form, but not only the form, the function of the form and their interplay, their interactivity, that it's in itself then produces the field, the layered field of that interaction. And each one of us to be embodied, if we were to master embodiment, we would be becoming very intimate with these three forces that are like the primary colors of nature's palette herself, or like the three strands of a weave or a braid or a plait. So through these three gunas, guna meaning that which binds, that which brings something together and holds it together so that we may perceive it as form, is sattva, rajas, and tamas. And just quickly, sattva is very much the force that is going in and up. It's ascendant, it's lucid, it's light, it's clear, it's pure. And rajas, in contrast, is spinning and it's kinetic, it's kaleidoscopic, polarized. It's an unstable force and therefore very dynamic. It vacillates, it can be erratic, and it externalizes our awareness outwards into the world that it is part of creating. And in contrast to rajas, there's the static rather than the kinetic. It goes down and out force rather than the in and up of sattva. It would be very much responsible for the consolidation, the gravitation, the crystallization that would then be perceived as more darkness, grossness, heaviness. And in contrast to rajas, this is the stabilizing force. And in a greater expression of that, inert, also related to ignorance, or the power to conceal, obstruct, and block. And you can see in the center of this is prakriti. Pra is the original, the fundamental, the first born. And kriti is where the English word creation comes from. So Mother Nature as the fundamental matrix or creatrix. And here you see all her three primary ways of unfolding and embodying consciousness in every one of her layers. So she's the maker, the making, and the made. So each one of us then being a constitution, a very unique combination of two of the five elements. So if we have the three gunas as a primary three forces of nature through which she creates and holds everything together, we also have from those three the production of five elements. And each one of us will be a very unique combination or configuration of two of those five elements. And how we take this form, how we express this very unique configuration is determined by whatever elements were in dominant or whatever elements were in play at the time of our conception. So whatever our own mother and father were experiencing, and the climate and the location and the food that they were digesting in their bodies. And we're not talking about what's good or bad or better or worse. We are stripping down to primary dynamics, energies that are beyond programmed association. They are an aspect of swasti. They are existent as is. So some of us will be more vata dosha dominant, will be more of a combination of space and air, will be more mobile, more easily excited. Vata is a catabolic moving force. And some of us will be more dominant pitta, more fire and water, and with more tendency to be the metabolizer, the transformer. And some of us will be more dominant of kapha dosha, which is water and earth, and very much here the empathic with capacity to hold and embrace, and therefore more patient and stable. And so I'd just like to take a moment here, because when I think about this embodiment conference and everything that everyone would be learning through this experience, it makes me wonder how some people will gravitate more to the embodiment processes that'll be about dance. Dance as an embodiment process, music, vibratory touch. And some people will be more about scholarship and penetrating into the secrets, the heart of mysteries, and possibly more embodied through activism or through leading the front line, leading the charge. And some people would be more gravitating towards embodiment practices that would be about stripping down exposure, throwing off the masks, and possibly something a lot more physical, like boot camp in a way, more martial. So each one of us having within us as an expression of our own inborn true self, a purpose of being that will be fulfilled, not by trying to do it any other standardized way, but rather by stripping back to the truth of who we are, stripping back to the seed, and from that place, flourishing and swelling outwards and expressing more naturally. And here, I'll just take a moment, would be our greatest purpose, according to these ancient sciences of Ayurveda and Kundalini Tantra, is our greatest purpose for being is to rediscover and be true to our own fundamental original self. So let's see a little bit more into what it is from the Ayurvedic point of view to be embodied. So embodiment is us being true to our original nature or basic trait, our original constitutional nature, physical and mental, formed at the time of conception. Here's another word to bear in mind, prakruti, our original form, our original nature. What would the word be if we were disembodied? So this is embodiment of true fundamental self. Disembodiment would be in Sanskrit, vikruti, where we have deviated from our original nature. And this happens because as humans, we can be very experimental and adaptive and flexible, and we want to play with possibility. So in our journey through our youth, we start to experiment. and put on masks and play games. And the trick, though, is to stay connected to the changeless, to be rooted in what is incorruptible, our original nature, even as we play. So the mastery of embodiment would be the ability to be rooted in the changelessness of being, while at the same time allowing ourselves to play across the full spectrum of what it is to be inner form and human. So Vikruti is a pathological status. When you look at the word disorder, this is the same root as dosha. We saw that word dosha. Dosha is a Sanskrit word. It shares the same root with disorder, dis-ease, discomfort, disembodiment, and so dysregulation. So again, this will be a reminder to us that the process of embodiment is the ability to understand the forces of nature, to harness the forces of nature within the body in the form of the doshas themselves, which are a combination of space and air and fire and water and earth. And with the understanding that dosha not only means that which is regulating balance, but also that which is the cause of the dis or the imbalance itself. What that really means, if I simplify it, is that being embodied would necessitate us to maintain a dynamic equilibrium, not just this static state, but to be able to have the resilience and the flexibility and the centeredness to be able to go all the way off kilter and bounce back, to be able to spin with that rajasic force and experience the potential of instability, to feel the fieriness and the intensity of those forces, while at the same time embodying the ascendant, the lucid, the pure, and at the same time allowing ourselves to be stabilized and grounded and crystallized. So embodiment, if we go back to what really counts, will be a mastery of all three forces, a mastery and a harnessing of all five primary elements. And it may sound like quite a work, but Ayurveda was produced for precisely that reason, is to train us to attain our aim. So I'd like to just speak here on life experience. Life experience being as a food, as a balanced meal, and how when we think about food and what it is to eat, we're not just talking about the food that we put in our mouth. We're talking about the substances of nurturance, the nutrients on all levels that would go through every one of our six organs of perception and circulate so that every one of our six or our five organs of perception and our six organs, our five organs of perception and our five organs of action, so that participating in life as substance, as sustenance, and how important it is for the process of embodiment to have those organs of perception and action adequately purified, so that we're not polarized by any one of the flavors of life itself, any one of the aspects of our life's experience, where we could purify all the way back down to a clean slate, so that we're no longer addicted and no longer biased and prejudiced in our choices of what flavors of life that we gravitate to, so that we can step back and survey life as a full balanced meal of all six tastes, where we have sweet and sour and salty and pungent and astringent and bitter. And through food itself, we're able to harness and maintain the dynamic equilibrium of all those primary, five primary forces of being responsible for the manifestation of our own body and the whole universe simultaneously. So the six tastes. And here, just taking a moment to look at this, well, I've just selected as much as possible what I feel is most essential in illustrating how important it is to have our metabolism as a central agency to maintain an optimum metabolism as an agency, central agency for the purpose of digestion, assimilation, transformation of one form of energy, for instance, the energies of food, into the energies of body tissues themselves. And so just looking around here, embodiment, the human body is composed of these layers of clear liquid bodily matter, the blood, the muscle, the fat, the bone, the blood, and the sexual tissue. And as the final end product of that undisrupted cycle of digestion, where we would need optimum metabolic power, we have there in the heart center, ojas. And ojas is essential. It's the quintessence of embodiment itself. It is very much the unconditioned love that circulates through the subtle body, leading us to an utmost contentment of being. So this is very much the unconditioned love that so many of us are searching from the outside. And yet we, as instrumentations of this nature's genius, have an inborn methodology to produce the substances of unconditioned love that lead to resilience and optimum immunity and the great sense of embodiment itself. So let's continue. Each of those layers of tissue, might not need this right now, have their own Agni, which is another important element I want to touch on here. Agni being the metabolic fire responsible for embodiment at every level of being. When that ojas is optimum, we could break this down. We could look at these words, vigor, strength, immunity, vitality, youthfulness, resilience, as the very description of what embodiment would feel like in a general way. Yes, embodiment will be very different for each one of us, but generally, when we're embodied, there would be these qualities. And when we're disembodied, when we're deficient in ojas, there would be a sense of feeling unloved, a lack of self-esteem, of self-worth, the self-doubting that kicks in regular basis, a lack of physical power, weakness, a tendency to be anxious, nervous, an unease, a disassociation, disconnection, the depression that comes from a lack of motivation and a sense of purpose or meaning, the lack of clarity, memory is affected, complexion, sense organ disorders, appetite, not just the appetite for food, but the appetite for life itself, fatigue and low immunity. So here we can see very clearly, what does it feel like in a measurable sense to be embodied? What does it feel like to be disembodied? And what would be therefore so essential for us to attain that embodiment is the ojas. Now, what we've seen is that to produce this ojas, Agni, the digestive fire, is instrumental. So at this point now, I'd like, and feel free to take some notes, I've selected the few most key elements of what I feel we could already incorporate into our day-to-day way of being that would improve digestive fire to such a degree that not only will we be digesting the toxins and the wastes and the blockages in our system, but also they will be optimizing how we assimilate, again, not only the food we put into the mouth, but our whole life's experiences being properly broken down, processed, assimilated, and evacuated. So we have also the metabolic waste products being properly evacuated, so that layer by layer, from the subtle to gross, and from the gross to the subtle, we are having this clean sense of nurturance, which leads to that quintessence, ojas, which is another way to say, or another way to understand ojas is nectar. So light meal at dinner, avoid drowning the Agni, give thanks. It's a big one. It seems so simple, but slow it all down. Take that moment, connect with the food, connect with all six tastes. Use your sense organs and listen and touch and feel fully this experience of what it is to ingest and chew and to suck and swallow and to leave part of your system empty, to not eat until you're so full that all of that life's experience or all of the flavors of that food will not be fully experienced. So eating as a meditation. And here, I'd like to offer some of the most important remedies. I did promise some remedies and exercises to attain a cell deep embodiment. And what I've selected here, again, what we could begin to do even now, this evening, tomorrow, is to start breaking down ama. Ama is undigested waste. So if we are stepping back and we're looking at life as food, life as a meal, and all the experiences, all our life's experiences as potential nourishment and or potential toxicity. And if we start to understand that perhaps we're so overwhelmed by life itself, perhaps there's so much distraction, and perhaps we are moving too fast, that we are not having this experience of the meditation of eating or the yoga of life, where we are so aware of everything that is going in through our ears, everything going through our skin, everything going through our eyes, everything going through our mouth and through our tongue, everything going through our nostrils, where we're not therefore able to fully break down our life's experience to the degree that it can be assimilated into our embodiment of consciousness itself. In this fully fleshed out way, which is a swelling from the centeredness of existence. And we strip it all down and we say, okay, well, let's do this thing. Let's strip it all back and not wait for the traumatic experiences that bring us face to the wall, and not wait for life to happen in such a way that we're humbled and we're made to crash until we're vulnerable again and in full contact, whether we like it or not, with what's absolutely essential. And that could be the very next gasp for a breath, so that we not wait to be crushed and collapse in on ourselves, so that we can instead be consciously cultivating awareness of the spaciousness, awareness of the innocence, awareness of the purity, awareness of the clean slate, awareness of a clear canvas. And here, right here in this simple practice, is a way to start clearing the way for real, cell deep cleansing. And these are some of the principles of what we can incorporate into how we eat, wherever we are, whether we're in this part of the world or your part of the world. And you'll see how important, as you look at this, you'll see how important fire is. you'll see how important hot is, because we would take that fire and we would take that warmth and that heat, and we would use that to break up the blockages, to break up the coating, to break up the, even if we zoom out, to break up any sense of obscuration, any overlays, any masking, any forgetting, the forgetting itself of who we are as a seed self. So I really like to make this bridge between the digestion of food and also the digestion of life itself, and how fire, Agni, is necessary to reduce and to lighten up the blockages. So we're looking at digestive teas, we're looking at spices, we're looking at ginger, we're looking at black pepper, it comes up over and over again. We're looking at what it takes to increase the appetite so that we can get to the deliciousness of a meal without being concerned that we won't be able to digest. So again, without being overwhelmed with too much input. And another chart, which take your screenshot, I'm not going to go in it fully in detail, but this is key. So let's say we cleared the way and we are now able to take in the juice, we're able to take in the nectar, and it won't curdle and it won't cloy and it won't increase blockage. In fact, it'll go right to where it counts, to heal, to repair, to bolster our immunity, to increase our youthfulness, to increase, in the bigger scheme of things, the sense, a felt sense of unconditioned love. And when you look at this chart in your own time, you'll see sweetness of food, the sweetness and the fullness of nourishment. I've also included this recipe, which is a one-pot meal. And again, if we zoom out and we look at life as a meal, life is a meal, what would we want from life? Just as what we want from this cleansing, healing, rejuvenating food. What would we want from life where we would be able to both clean and purify and empty and expose, but at the same time, do it in such a way where we have support, where we have nourishment, we have sustenance? That would be you creating a lifestyle for yourself where there's a greater sense of a one-pot meal, where you're not trying to do or taste or have too many different divergent experiences, as much as that might titillate your senses, where you actually bring it all together into a one-pot meal, a one-pot life in a way, where everything is so much more easily and potently digested. Now that's perfect right now if you're at home, and many of us are at home, where everything has become so much more simplified, where we don't have that much access to a divergent and busy, overwhelming whirlwind of information, of data. So simplification right here. One thing I'd like to leave you with, another one, take your screenshot, make your notes as you like. This is key practice, key remedy exercise for the sustained, grounded processes of embodiment. No matter how you choose, whatever embodiment process works for you, there's the need to go into the nervous system and to repair at the level of nerve tissue itself, to be able to go to the nerve fibers and rebuild at that level, to be able to nourish, to be able to protect and coat the nerve fibers, to be able to promote circulation, to be able to nourish the skin's microbes, to be able to build the resilience that is such a characteristic of a living embodiment itself. to be able to produce oxytocin, which is very much related to the ojas we've been talking about, to be able to promote tolerance, to be able to support the dynamic equilibrium that we've been touching on in this session. So Abhyanga means to remove fear, the negation of fear, the negation of self-doubt, the negation of self or unworthiness. How? By going cell deep. How? By getting to the primary forces of being itself, working with, in this case, oil. Oil, the name for oil in Sanskrit, one of them is sneha. The process of oiling yourself, oilation, is snehana. Sneha also means love. Love being an oiliation, a nutrient or a nurturance at the very, very deepest layers of being. So I would like to stop here so that you can see me again, because that's a lot of screen. That's a lot of presentation. And so we can have face-to-face as we start to come towards at least the end of those slides. And take some time now to prepare any questions that may be coming up. I'm going to put back in my headphones, which are probably slipping out because I do oil my body. I probably do have some oil in my ears, which actually ultimately really promotes my sense of hearing. So those go back in.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Uma, for sharing. We have two questions at the moment. So the first refers to the first part of your presentation when you were talking about as above, so below. And yeah. The question is a living thing the embodiment of the universe?
Is the living thing an embodiment of the universe? Yes, the living thing is constituted at its most primary elements and forces and functions as the very same elements that constitute the universe. So they're homologous with each other, homologous, synonymous, and we are in a constant dynamic of symbiosis of the individual with the universal, of the minute with the magnitude. So the answer to that is yes, a living thing is the embodiment of the universe.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so we have lots of questions chiming in now. So I'm just going to ask the ones that come through that are quite specific to your presentation. One is, what would be the path for someone that is completely tamas and mostly kapha and struggles with depression, trauma, and lack of vitality?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So we have to do the antidote. Ayurveda is all about antidotes. So the opposite, it's a main rule of healing. The opposite cures. So there's depression, there's tamasic, there's excessive kapha, which are all going to express as excessive heaviness, of density, of darkness, of ignorance, of forgetting purpose, of not even being able to access the seed of being, because there'd be so many layers to cut through. Then we need to use the antidote, which should be everything that is hot and fiery and intense and sharp and mobile and cutting, literally cutting. So then using those qualities, we're able to design a way of being that is targeting the issue itself. So, you know, one of the things that, again, this has to be very specific, I'm talking generally, And the point is, because we are so unique, is to break this down and customize and personalize it for exactly you, where you are, how old you are, and what your life, what your daily schedule generally looks like. But overall, what comes up for me is boot camp, is training, is physical intensity. We've got to raise the heat. We've got to put you in the pot, so to speak. And that'll be different for each person. And as you're boiling away there in the pot, there's going to be a breakdown and a metabolism, a conversion of the energies of darkness, heaviness, kapha, tamas, into a whole other expression of energy. So there has to be transformative power, which is metabolism itself. We can do this through food, lifestyle, exercise, yoga, and spiritual practices. So remember this general rule, antidote, do the opposite of tamas.
Thank you. And yeah, it really brings me back to what you said, like the digestion of food is the digestion of life. And I was wondering, with this last minute that we have before we close the session, can you speak into the offering that you would like to offer those who are in here with us?
Yes, thanks. So there is an offering that I'd like to make available. And that is a 3-month, let me just bring it up for myself. It's a Cell Deep Embodiment Program. So it's a program that has been developed for everyone who is here in this session. It's exclusive offer. Typically, it's a 3-month guided journey that would go together of rediscovery, recovery, recalibration, and the information will be made available to you. There is a link that you can go to. It's goingwithnature.com, goingwithnature.com/embodiment. Normally, the value of such a journey that we would go on together would be worth €1,000 at least. And I'd like to boil it down and make it 333. I usually work with numbers that add up to a 9, because for me, that is all about embodiment, that whatever you offer out will come back in a flourish, growing, expansive way. And this would include, yes, a consultation with me where we really do strip it back to your original self and then build an embodiment program that would be specifically designed to facilitate that the fullness of being. And it would include a call. We'd have a monthly call. We'd have a community program that we would all join, just 10 of us, by the way. This is only available for 10 of us. And it includes a foundational, a handbook that I've written that just hits the spot. So looking forward to that very much. And I think, yeah, you'll see more information on that as it's made available.
Amazing, thank you so much. There's such a huge amount of knowledge that you've been able to titrate into such a juicy presentation. So thank you so much. And we really appreciate it. There's also a lot of love coming to you in the chat box. Mm-hmm. So yeah, really speaking from the heart, thank you, Uma, and what an honor it was to receive your wisdom. Thank you. For those of you who are here and continuing to stay on this channel, our next session is Zero Balancing, Touching Bone Energy and Working with Trauma with Richard Walters. And this is in an hour's time. There are plenty of ways to stay connected and to continue the conversation and to deepen our knowledge of embodiment. And you can do this on our private Facebook group. Or there's also a space called Coffee Breaks, which is just being posted in the chat box. And this is a platform on the portal to meet like-minded people and continue the conversation. As you know, this is the last day of the conference, and it has been a huge amount of content and a huge opportunity for learning, all of which are not possible within the short amount that it's available. So I do encourage you to buy the library And this is also a way to say thank you to the team, to the volunteers that have helped make this work, and to Mark and the presenters. And it also gives you a chance to digest in a very sustainable way the knowledge of the consciousness of people around us at the moment. I would like to close this session with you, Uma, and with the one last question of your top tip to stay embodied.
A top tip to stay embodied. Oil yourself. Abhyanga. Top tip. Right there. Get to the nerve, to the nerve, to the nerve, to the cell.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who want to stay in contact and jump onto this amazing offer from Uma, definitely visit her website and get in contact with her. Thank you so much, Uma. And I'm going to close the session.
Carry on. Thank you.
Pleasure to meet you.